This is Love Seal Church, bearing the tidings of the blessed hope and the glorious liberty of the sons of God. We earnestly pray that you experience a breaking forth in the quantum leap into all the promises of God for you. Gird up the loins of your mind and heart as you obtain mercy to find grace by the word of God coming through God's own servant at this time to you. Be ready for great impartation of the Spirit and life. Happy listening.
In the name of Jesus. I said, we become as he became. He became undefiled. He became incorruptible. He became unfading away. As he became, I said, you and I will become. We become divine. Because we are accessing divine promises. And we are accessing exceed great and exceeding promises. That by these promises, we can escape the corruption that is in the world. And we have received purging from the pollution that's in the world. We have received both cleansing for pollution, and we have received escape from the corruption, the pollution are things that defy the uncleanness that is in the world, the unclean as the pollution of the world. But beyond pollution are also corruption. And escape from the corruption so that we can really partake of divine nature. That divine nature is the nature of the true God. A man is walking, he might have the life of the true God, a man has divine nature. Until you have divine nature, you have not accessed the true God yet. That's why Jesus Christ was very, very clear. He said, I cannot bear witness of myself. Because at that time, he does not yet have full divine nature. What he has become a living stone. A living stone is different from a divine nature. One of the critical things in the heart of God, it's not just a teaching. It's what the Lord wants us to come into. The Lord wants us to live by the Father. As one of us that have been living by faith, it's not just a teaching emphasis. But I have a very strong persuasion in my spirit, witness to my soul, that there is a ready provision God wants us to come into. For everyone that has lived by faith, to move into the scene of live by the Father. You mean to live by the Father. Because if you don't live by the Father, you will not be quickened by the Father. It is those who are living by the Father that will move into a season of being quickened by the Father. God will quicken at all things. So I perceive strongly that the intention of the Lord for us is to live by the Father. And to live by the Father, you have to have been raised up by the Father. To live, you must have been raised firstly by the Father. This conversation of living started from John chapter 3, John 4, John 5, John 6, John 7, John 8. To John 10, those teachings were terrific teaching. From John 3, is a people having breakthrough into the work of the Father. Because in John chapter 6, the Jew came to Jesus after they kept on looking for Jesus. Because it was in that St. John 6 that Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, whoso that eateth me. So you can see that the thing that you are about to eat is it that is living by the Father. So those who eat, he taught me, he shall live by me. Because he lived by the living Father. And he became a meat that many should eat, so that they also can live by me. But if they say they live by me, they are not living by him. They are living by the Father that he lives by. So we know that you cannot live by the Father if you have not lived by faith. And the living by faith was firstly spoken by the prophet. And what's about to live by faith is the soul. In Habakkuk 2:4, say, behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him. That means when God is checking soul that is lifted up, a lifted up soul is a soul that he has been puffed up by vanity. What is Psalm 24? It's a soul that has been lifted up. Also, Psalm 15 also talk about such a soul. So, Psalm 24 spoke about soul that is lifted up to vanity. So supposed not to lift up to vanity. So supposed to be lifted up to Jesus. As Jesus said in John chapter 3, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And that lifted up is that a soul that moves into ascending from the earth into heaven. So the soul should be lifted up to heaven. The soul should not be lifted up to vanity. When soul is lifted up to vanity, the soul is lifted up to air. H-E-L-L. Vanity is a product of air. Because the being that fashioned vanity were cast to air. Because they lifted up their soul. Lucifer's soul was lifted up. And they cast him to air. So every lifted soul, they are imaginations of air. They are hellish things. So behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him. Because this soul is not lifted up to God. When we say soul is lifted up to vanity, Ezekiel 28 said, thy heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. And because when soul is lifted up, such a soul will be corrupted. That is, vanity is a very high thing that can pump souls up. Jonah was praying the belly of the fish. He was talking about his soul will be lifted up to his temple from here. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish belly and said, I cry by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me out of the belly of air cry out. And that little man, you go blood, you see that his soul was looked to the temple. Then said, I am cast off thy sight. Yea, I will look again toward thy holy temple. So you find out that in Psalm 24, who shall ascend? Ascending is what heaven wants many souls to do. Because why must the soul ascend? Why the soul must ascend is that our Father who art in heaven. You know, I will say something. I say, God cannot descend below it's everlasting. But in everlasting, there are two ladders in everlasting. The living. God can't go below the living. He was in that dimension of the living. He created everything after the order of the living. From the angel to the least thing that have his soul, he created them the order of the living. Living creature. Which is the height of the angel that he created. And the man that has a soul that go to reckon, that go to account with, he called them living soul. Living creature, living soul. So every creature he created are in the order of the living. Because that is the least he can come down to. When is God descending below God is when he's trying to himself as Lord. But when he's in God, he can't go below the living God. Anything below the living God, the manifestations that come after the fall. We know that the being that went to Egypt was the Lord, Jehovah. And in the war of the Lord, there are spectrums. There are different spectrums in the word of the Lord. Like the Lord that went to Egypt is different from the Lord in the wilderness. Because there was a Lord that was in the wilderness, that was in the camp. For the Lord is in your camp. And you have to keep your camp holy. So the Lord in the camp is different from the Lord in Egypt. The Lord in Egypt was there for the Lord in Goshen. So in the word of the Lord, there are spectrums. Spectrum means they are Lord in various amount of strengths. So the Lord that went to Egypt is a reduced Lord. Because if the Lord in the wilderness should come to Egypt, Egypt will fold up. Because you could see manifestation of the Lord in the wilderness. The Lord was the one in the wilderness feeding people for 40 years. Their clothes was not growing old. Their shoe was not growing old. Nobody was feeble amidst them. That Lord was a very strong one. It was just the Lord. But you know that that was the Lord on the plain. Immediately, they moved to Mount Sinai. It was not just the Lord that was there. Because when Hebrew 12 was comparing Sinai with Zion, he said that they have come to the living God. They have changed from the Lord. But when Moses descended from Sinai to the camp, is the Lord. But he that came down on Sinai, who they said that what he rest upon, he could not even rest upon Sinai. He had to create something for him to rest upon. He rests upon his feet, rest upon a sapphire pillar to separate him from the mountain. Where his feet had to rest. His feet was not the sapphire, but they made sure they used sapphire for his feet to rest on the mountain. And I saw the God of Israel. The being on mountain was God. God of Israel. And there was under his feet as were a paved walk of a sapphire stone. Because the God of Israel cannot step on that mountain. That mountain will melt like wax. So they had to do a paved walk of sapphire stone. You know, sapphire is a bunny. They had to craft a sapphire stone and place sapphire stone. I felt I must be angels that carved that thing. I felt I was resting on some beings. He would say, what was underneath his feet as we are a pale walk of a sapphire stone. And you also saw the same manifestation in the book of Revelation chapter 1. That angel has a feet of burning brass. Because God has his class. So just like in God's realm, there are spectrums in God. There is a true God. There's eternal God. Who is our refuge? Eternal God is our refuge. And then you move into the true God and the what? Living God. So in the realm of God, there are spectrums. Likewise, when God that cannot descend below the living God, as if you go to remain in his Godhood, the least domain of Godhood is the living. But if God, we have to go outside God's words, he comes as the Lord. And just as in the realm of the world, the Lord also have his spectrum. Like, for example, in the book of Malachi 3, they were talking about the kind of the Lord who you seek shall suddenly come to the temple. So you saw that a Lord that come to the temple. So you are sure that the Lord that is in the temple is there for the Lord that will visit Egypt. Because why? The temple is a separated place. And so spectrum of God and spectrum of the Lord is classified in his strength, according to their holiness and their separation. The more separated he is. Like when they were describing Jesus in Hebrews 7. For such an high priest became us. Who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinner, made higher than the heavens. So they try to describe the manner of the high priest. Likewise is God. There are separations of God. Separation of God as eternal God is higher separation. It's higher holiness than the true God. The true God is higher separation than the living God. And if eventually you say, God, this your separation is too high. I can't apprehend it. Can you step lower? You say, I cannot come as a God anymore. I have to be a Lord. So whenever God steps outside the God world, he becomes a Lord. And there are revelations. You also find the same thing in the book of Genesis. When you read Genesis 1, the God, the creator, Genesis 1 was, and God said, in the beginning, God. All through the creation, because it was creation. And what is creation? He was using things that are not seen. Because in the realm of God, you are talking about that which is not seen. But when you bring God on scene into manifestation, you move to the word of Lord. So in the book of Genesis, because and God created everything that God created in Genesis 1. When you get back to Genesis 2 and the Lord God form, God as a Lord or God that has appeared. God that has come into appearance. So in Genesis 1, you see that God created. So in that realm of God, 2 Timothy said, but unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor, glory, and forever, amen. Unto the appearance of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his time shall shew, who is the blessed, the only potentate, the King of kings, the Lord of all, who only had immortality, dwelling in the light, which no man can approach, which no man has seen, nor can see. Because they are talking about the word of God, to whom be honor, glory, and power everlasting. So when you see Genesis, in the word of God, the eternal God is a realm of eternal invisible, unseen. So when God moved from eternal God into the true God and moved into the living God, and from that living God is unseen. And so everything he created there, we are unseen. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and darkness upon the deep. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. Well, the evening and the morning was the first day. And the second day, and God called the light day. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. And there divide the waters from the water. And God made the firmament and divide the water under the firmament from the water which above the firmament. And it was so. Verse 8. And God called the firmament heavens. And the evening and the morning, the second day. And God said, let there be water under the heaven. And God said, let us make man in our image, and after our likeness, and let him have dominion. Let him subdue. And God saw that everything he had made was good. And then on the seventh day, God rested. The unseen God, where did he rest? So you can see, on the seventh day, God rest. So we knew that the seventh day is not the way we count day. Those days were not the day of men. God rested. We are sure that God didn't rest in heaven. He that has ceased from his works, the works of his hand, heaven and earth are his works. So you can see that where God rested is in the unseen. For he that is entered into rest, he also has seen from his own work as God did from his. God sees from works, his works, in what he created, heaven and earth. So I just want you to see that when we are talking about the realm of God, either from the spirit of a God as the living, as the true and as eternal is the different dimension of visibility and unseen. Even in the world of unseen, the living is unseen. But the living unseen is lower than the unseen or invisibility of the true. Likewise, eternal. So I was teaching this thing that it's not lifted up, it's not upright in himself. Because why is faith necessary? Because you need to live by faith before you can live by the Father. And the Father is the living Father. Essence of why you need to live by faith is so that faith prepares you to access the word of the unseen. Hebrew 11. Because without using faith to the end of the faith, you will not be able to access the word of the living. Because faith is not what unseen hope for. And faith is the evidence of the unseen. Evidence of things not seen. And you can't access unseen God until you have assessed unseen things of God prepare you to approach unseen God. Because God is a person. But there are also substances. So faith is substances. Faith does not qualify you like to see the unseen God. But faith gives you leverage to assess unseen things. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. So faith gives you leverage to start assessing unseen things. Because you must first of all assess unseen things before you will reach unseen God. So you need unseen substances. Yeah, you need unseen things. Even in the realm of unseen things, there are spectrum or there are calibrations. Because you can't just arrive there because I live by faith. I can see God. Forget it, my dear, you can't. Unseen things prepare you to see God. So you must have acquired enough substance of unseen things that make you to be upright in yourself. But the soul that's lifted up is not upright in him. Because blessed are the upright in heart, for they shall see God. So you must have attained uprightness for you to be able to qualify where you can start seeing God. And you don't start seeing the true God or eternal God. You have to start seeing the living God first. So the journey to see God, that's why Hebrew 11 said, by faith, Enoch walked with God and was no more. Because when you journey into working with God, who is unseen, you should be no more. Because he himself is unseen. When you are using things, substances, you can still be seen. But when you move into the zone of God, you should not see you again. Because God is not seen. No man has seen God at any time. But they say, you know what with God? You know, didn't see God. But he not walk with an unseen being. And eventually he didn't see him again. He was no more. When they were describing everybody, they say, everybody walked by faith. Abraham walked by faith. And Enoch started walking by faith. For by faith, Enoch was translated. He should not sit there. For he was found because God had translated. When you move into the realm of God. And who Enoch created was, he was just limited with a copy of the living God. Because when you move into the world of God, you should not be seen. Because no one has seen God at any time. God also came to Moses and said, no one has seen me and live. When you see me, you disappear. Because the realm of God, the being you walk with and you are still seen is the Lord. So when you are asked to live as a father, which is the word of the living God. You know, the being was coming to Adam in the evening, but they couldn't see him. He said, we heard your voice walking in the garden. It was the voice they heard. That was Adam and Eve. What they have access to was the voice. And they heard the voice of the Lord God. It was the Lord. Walking in the garden in the cool of the day. They heard the voice. Because the word of God is the word of unseen. Even the least spectrum of the living God is unseen. But you cannot arrive in the living God. You must have enjoyed substances of things not seen. That is your first inheritance. I break through into the things that is not seen. And having break through into the thing not seen is by faith. So they were describing Moses. In the book of Hebrew 11, they said, by faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured. So the first curriculum that Moses went through was a program of he endured. So that program of enduring is the program of walking by faith. And as I'm walking in here, he endured as seeing. He didn't see the invisible. He endured as they were comparing. As seeing him who is invisible. That means what Moses had access to, we are things not seen. As seeing him who is invisible. And he who is invisible is God. That was Moses' desire. You have said you have known me by name. You have said that I find grace in your sight. Now, if I find grace in your sight, show me thy way and show me thy face. God said, no one can see me and live. But it's all to live by the Father. Because the dispensation to live You can't see me and live. And the desire of God is that men should live. You should live. See me and live. That dispensation where men can see God and live was not open. Enoch that tried to walk with him by faith was translated that he should not see there, and he was fine no more because God has translated. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. And they said, what did he use to please God? He used faith to please God. And what is faith? Substance of things, hope for. Evidence of things not seen. That's what you must use to appease God. Say, God, I want to see you. I want to see you. Can I see you? God said, you won't see me. Nobody they see me now. You can't see me and live. Okay. You are interested in seeing me. Okay. Let me give a substance of things. Hope for. What's the hope? Is to see invisible God. They will give you the substance of things you are hoping for. And what are you hoping for? To see invisible God. God said, you want to see invisible God? Okay. Let me give you substance of people that have me as their hope. Or ask me as expectation. Men that ask me as a future. They are looking forward to see me in the future. So, you can't see me, but since that you have desire, you have hope to see me. God, I want to see you one day. Okay, giving substances of a man that hope to see me. And give him things, if he can endure those things. That's why I say, for Moses, endure as seeing the invisible. If you can endure the substance of things hoped for, if you can endure the substance of things not seen, then you show it to the invisible God that when he brings you into the world of living God, that does not qualify that you will see him. But if you bring you to the world, because in that world you can get lost. Because to come and live in that world, in Athens, they have a poem. And they have an altar that they wrote there to the unknown God. This altar is there to the unknown God. We know there's a God that we don't know. Because why? They have gathered all to the unknown God. And that God, there's a poem about that God. That Paul came and stood on that hill of man and began to talk about, say, I'm interested about this God you don't know. Me, I've come to know this God that you don't know. He said, and this God is the one that made the heavens and the earth. He has not left himself without witnesses. All his creature, the heaven, the rain that they give you in season, are his witnesses. But beyond all these witnesses, I'm talking about this God. I come to a poem that said, for in him we live. He didn't say they live. As at this time, Paul and some people have assessed this being. They are living there. It's in him. This unknown God that you don't know. We, they live inside there. In him we live and move and have our being. We have our essence. Being them, you have our essence. As certain of your own poem has said, for we are his offspring. That means we generated out of him. So you cannot assess the living God without firstly assessing the things hoped for and the things not seen. So that is firstly what they give to you. An essence of those things is to make your soul upright. When they say soul is upright, mean every soul is not upright. Our soul is descending to hell. That's what it means. It's downward. Descending. It's not upright. The soul that is lifted up is not upright in him. But the just shall live by his faith. Not by your faith. By his faith. You are told to live by one person's faith. What does it mean to live by faith? You need to live by the things of the being you hope for. It's his faith. He and his faith is to live by the substance of the being that you have as your hope. The being that you have as your desire. The being that you are looking for as your desire.
You mean to live by faith. To live by faith means live by his substance. To live by his faith means to live by his evidence.
Because faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. So that means, can you live by the evidences of God? What is evidence? Proofs. Live by God's proof. And what does it mean? God is a spirit. Though you can't live as a spirit, as God is a spirit, but God gives his things that should teach you to be spiritual. Because spiritual is like spirits. Spiritual. Though God is a spirit, and God is a spirit, but and you can't be live by spirit, but can you be spiritual? Which is like spirit. So let God give you his substances. Let God commend to you his fine evidences. So faith is the substance of the hope for. Faith is evidences of things not seen. So God is looking for you to prove evidence to him. Show me witnesses that you are qualified to assess God, which is unseen. So evidences are witnesses. When you go to law court, say, can you bring evidences? Can you bring for witnesses? So I need faith to raise the fourth pedigree of evidences. To consider, the fundamentals of faith is to raise men with evidences. Substance of faith is to raise witnesses that unseen, invisible God can bring them to his word. While you are thinking that Christianity is a religion, God is commending word to you. Word of faith. And before the Lord, we move into the law of faith to you, because in Christ is also the word of faith. And the word of faith has two things therein. The word of faith will give you light and understanding. So light and understanding are substances of the things hoped for. When you hear substance of things hoped for, light are substances. Understanding are substances. So when faith comes, understanding has come to you. Hebrews 11:3. Through faith, we understand. So Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for. One of the substance that faith brings to you is understanding. The first substance the word of faith brings to you is light. A man can have light and doesn't have understanding. They are two different things. But you can't have understanding without light. And so light and understanding are substance of the word. Those are the two substances you find in the word. Just as in the season of Christ, you find bread and water in the word. So in the word of Christ, when Colossians said, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, the word of Christ has two substances not to give to you. It will give you light and understanding. Then, another thing you find outside the word, faith, there's a word of faith. You also find the law of faith. So there's a word of faith that has light and understanding. Then you have the law of faith. That was Romans chapter 3. The law of faith, you assess the spirit of faith. So I'm trying to tell you, until you have the spirit of faith, you can't move into evidence of things. So, spirit of faith is evidence of things not seen. So, word of faith is the substance of things hoped for. And so, when you have substance of things hoped for, you have light and understanding. Because faith is substance of things hoped for, comma, the evidence of things not seen. And when you are in the evidence of things not seen, you have the spirit of faith, which is the law of faith. So a man can have the word of faith, he has not had the law of faith yet. Into the spirit of faith. So you only have the word of faith. You don't have the spirit of faith in you. So spirit of faith is what brings forth evidence. It's spirit of faith that produces witnesses. Until you have spirit of faith, you don't yet have evidence. You only have light and understanding. Word will develop this substance of light and understanding. Hebrews chapter 10 from verse 32.
But call to remember the former days in which after you were illuminated. What's illuminated? Enlightened. After you were illuminated. After you are enlightened. Look at what happened. That is when you move into the second layer. You endure a great fight of affliction so that you can partake of spirits. That's the essence of that affliction. So you can partake of the law. Partly where you were made a gazing stock. So these things does not happen to you. There was no enduring affliction. It is until you are illuminated. And we know two things that are responsible for illumination is the word, light and understanding. So illumination is a product of two things, light and understanding. That's when you say you are enlightened. Ephesians 1:19, ever to go. Wisdom and revelation. What's the revelation? Spirit of understanding. We gathered you what? It's the spirit of wisdom, what? And revelation. Yeah? The eyes of understanding be illuminated. What brought for illumination? Wisdom and what? Understanding. What is wisdom? Lights. So when you hear the word light, like me, wisdom. The entrance of you all, give a light or give a wisdom and understanding. So light plus understanding equal illumination or equal enlightening. So light or wisdom and revelation or spiritual understanding are products of the word. Not just a knowledge. They are not knowledge. Word is a word of faith. They are substance. Wisdom is a substance. He said this, I wisdom am a durable substance. Say that, George. Right. So, wisdom is substance. Wisdom is substance. That I may cause those that love me to inherit this substance. Substance of faith is wisdom. Give me 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse, give me 2 and 3. And I, brethren, when I come to you, came not with excellence of speech, of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Verse 3. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. Verse 4. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words. Well, look at what is in the world. And no words of man's wisdom, but what? In demonstration of spirit and power. That what word? That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So if your faith is not standing in the wisdom of men, stand in the wisdom called Christ. Because the power of God, what's the power of God? I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Or your faith should not stand in the what? In the wisdom of men, but in the gospel of Christ. So you can see that my preaching is not the words of man's wisdom. So if not word of man's wisdom, it's the word of the power of God. Or word of the gospel of Christ. If the world, then what do you find in the world? Wisdom. What's wisdom? Light. The ministry of the world, or the mystery of the word of faith, is that the word, when it says the word of faith, so there's difference between the word of faith and the law of faith. The word of faith is light and understanding, or wisdom and understanding, to bring about illumination. Illumination is not that I understand Bible. When you illuminate a man, you light up a man within. You illuminate a man on the inside. Illuminating a man is recapturing a man on the inside. Illuminating a man is like you went to a village and you electrified the whole place. Imagine illuminating how. It's that when you illuminate, you are brought for four sense of life. When the place is dark, everything is quiet. Everything is gloomy. Everything is doomy. There's a way. But when you inject light, when the sun lights in the morning, your body that is collapsed on that deep darkness, when sun begins to die, there's a sort of energy. Even though sometimes you feel like sleeping, but that thing alone will distort you. The ray of light into your room and through the window. Such is when wisdom and understanding visit a soul. And the conduit that you use to bring forth wisdom called Christ and understanding called Christ is the word of faith. So because word is wisdom. So if it's a wisdom, wisdom direct. So for the first time, when light, which is wisdom, visits your soul, which is the product of the world, your soul start finding sense of direction. Those are how you know when a man has been illuminated. That's how you check. You start finding sense of direction. So you sense of direction because wisdom directs. Every soul who are journeying, you are journeying the path of vanity. When your soul starts finding sense of direction is sense of destination. That's why faith is the substance of things hope for. You now find hope. And what's hope? Hope is expectation. Hope is destination. Hope is a desire. Hope is a future.
That's why in that Habakkuk 2, that we say, the soul is lifted up in himself. It's not upright in himself.
How does Habakkuk 2 start? I will stand on my watch and set me upon the tower. I will watch to see what he will say to me. It's what he will say. How can I see what he say? I supposed to hear what he say, but I will see what he will say. Because a picture that will come by what he's saying. And faith is what he's talking about, because that's what they call in verse 4. It's faith. It's just shall live by faith. Faith is a saying. For faith, God come by hearing and hearing. I will see what he will say. He will create a picture. And he call what I will see, he call it a vision. What is vision? Illumination. Be illuminated. Be enlightened. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower. I will watch to see what he will say to me and what I ask and answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision. So the vision is the illumination that came. Write the vision and make it plain upon the tables, upon the heart. Is the table is the heart. That he may run that read it. For the vision, say the vision. Is yet for an appointed time. At the end, he shall speak. The vision is supposed to speak. If the vision will speak, that the vision will become a tangibility. And not lie. Do it tarry, wait for it, for it shall surely come. It will not tarry. So you can see that the vision is an expectation. It's a hope that will not tarry, that will come. And what is coming is God. Because that same thing, it will not tarry, will come. You'll find the same thing in Hebrew 10. When we are talking about Hebrew 10, I'm reading in Hebrew 10. Cast not therefore away your confidence, which is the great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. And if any man draw back, my soul shall not have pleasure in him. But we are not of them that draw back, but them that believe to the saving of the soul. Then they are like verse 11. Is that talk about faith? That is, if the vision, which is the vision, which is the hope that should come, which is God that should come, which is the promise that should come, which is the reward that shall come. So what he called the vision there is the promise. What he called the vision there is the reward. But when he got into level of that Hebrew 10, he called it, he that will come, the reward, the promise. He called it the hope for. But the hope has its substances. The hope has its evidences, which is now. Stay the reality of now while you were waiting for the hope that must come. Say the reality of now. Say the reality of hope now. Faith now. Keep using, keep living by faith now. But you can change living by faith and come to live by that vision. So now you live by the faith now. But there's another thing you can live by. You can live by the vision. You can live by the promise. You can live by the reward. But now what you have access to live by is faith. But faith is not the best you can live with. There are provisions you can live by. To live by faith is to live by Christ. Christ. The first thing that you must live by is to live by faith. A man has not started living until he has found substance of this nothing. You are not start living. Any life that you live without substance of things is not sin. It's possible for you to live, but you are not living by the substance of things is not sin. You are not living by substance of things hoped for, and you are not living by evidence of things is not sin. You are living below. You are living below the bar. That's why the only life that God reckon with, the only life that please God, the God that is unseen, and God can start reckoning. What did reckon? God will never take into cognizance. God will never take into accounting. God will never count any life that's lived outside substance of things offered. God will not reckon. God will not take cognizance. God will not accept. God will never consider Any lie that is lived outside the evidence of things not seen. So there are many things men can live by. You can live outside certain things. The pattern of the things in the spirit that is what you live by that commend you to next things you live by. If you are not living by certain things you cannot live by the living Father. And if you don't live by the living Father, he won't commend you to live by the true God. If you don't live by the true God, he won't commend you to live, because the true God is the promise. He won't commend you to live by eternal God, which is the reward. You're supposed to keep living. United Nations measure nation by standard of living. And they measure nation by standard of living by per capita income. They measure standard of living dividing the national income divided by population. Every city of the country cannot live by $1. It's a poor nation. You must be able to live by $1 per day. $1 per day. So, and the good nations underdeveloped, developed. Then after you have become a developed nation, in the League of Developed Nations, they now are G5. They are not just developed. You can be a developed nation, you are not part of G5. Developed nation means you have developed in such a way that all your citizens, they are not in hunger. Then it's when you are belleful, you cannot decide there to move into ammunition. So when you are developing, you are not qualified to have something. Go and feed your citizens. Go and fight hunger. Go and fight poor accommodation. Go and fight literacy. They call it million goals. It's when you have conquered those things, then you move into the hierarchy of nation, into developed nation. Likewise, also in God. When a man is not living by the substance of faith, heaven calls you that you are a vain soul. Heaven refers to you that you are wretched. You are wretched. You can have money, but you are wretched. Jesus Christ was teaching in the book of Luke. He saw that man, that his lamb brought for plenty. And that his barn house was too small to accommodate it. And I will say to my soul, that's a soul that's lifted up. He's not upright in himself. I will say unto my soul, your land are ye for plenty. And you have more to take you for many years. Now tell my soul, relax. God said, you rich fools. Such is a man that is rich in the things. Say that, church. So is he that lay up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. So a man has things, but doesn't have substance of things. Oh, for he doesn't have evidence of things. He has things. He has goods, but does not have things. Say he has treasure.
He has treasure.
For himself, yeah. But it's not rich towards God. God will not bring you to the word of God. The word of everlasting. Until you have rich, you are rich. And there's nothing that can make you rich. You must be rich with things. Oh, for you must be rich with things. Evidence of things, nothing. And what those things are going to do is to make your soul that is not upright. He wants to make it right. He must be upright. It's right. And what God call right is not what men call right. There are things that seem right to man. For God, the soul must be upright. And so the soul can never be upright without materials of faith. So just like standard of living increases from underdeveloped to developing and developed. Likewise, when you obey faith, when you use standard of faith, you live. You can move from living by faith and live by the Father. Yes. A man can move by living by the Father and live by God. Yes. So when a man is living by God, you say that man is rich towards God. Yes. But God remembers the former days in which after you were illuminated. Illumination is very, very important. And what is responsible for illumination of the soul is the ministry of the word. And I say, word has two things. Word has light and understanding. Or wisdom and understanding. Because when you have understanding, understanding by wisdom is outbuilt, by understanding is established. That understanding is establishing your heart in grace. What is grace? Establishing your heart by the word. When you say a man has understanding, a man's heart is established by grace. It means, what did Jesus told devil when he came to tempt him that he should turn this stone to bread? For man shall not live by bread alone, but man shall live by every word that proceeds. So you can live by the word. The first thing you're supposed to live by is to live by the word. And what does it mean to live by the word? You live your life with the understanding. Understanding of things not seen begin to guide your life. Because everybody on the earth are living by understanding of things that they are seeing. When I say seeing, even though it's not available in their corner, but they are seeing it. There are nothing new under the sun that men have seen. Though you may not be experiencing it, one person is living it. All you have read is it's already seen. So to live by the word is not to be confessing scripture. We are just quoting the Bible. To live by the word is to live by understanding. Understanding of substance of things not seen. It's not that you are just not thinking, you are living it. A man shall live by the word. So when you say a man shall not live by bread alone, what is bread? Bread is understanding.
Yes, sir.
What's understanding? Understanding is strength. Because bread has strengthened the heart. It is an order in everlasting. You must first of all live by the word. You can't live by the law if you have not lived by the word. You can't live by the spirit of faith if you have not lived by the word of faith. So the first thing, you must live by wisdom, by the substances. And these two substances in the world is bread and water, or is light and understanding, or wisdom and understanding. Wisdom is a substance that your soul must intermingle with. Understanding is your sister that your soul must choose to be a companion of. When light of the world, when light of the midst of the world visits your light, it brings you into some separation. Separation does not start from without. It starts from within first.
Yes.
Any separation that starts from without is not a true separation. Light to separate you from your first former way of thinking. For the light shine forth, and the darkness cannot comprehend it. And God separated the light from darkness. When the midst of the world bring forth light or wisdom to your soul, or there will be partitioning in your soul. You see, you start living first of all from the inside. You live from the inside out. When a man have received the mystery of the world, the sin of the world is over a person. A man can be under the mystery of the world for 10 years, 20 years of his life. He's living by the world. Don't live by the world. You are living by understanding. You are living by wisdom. Which they cannot be gainsaying. You are seeing men that live by the wisdom. Like men that live by the wisdom of giving. Because the wisdom of giving, the wisdom, they want to give themselves out of poverty. They have wisdom done on them. When they started giving, nothing was coming to their hand. They kept on giving. They will sell their car and gave. When they are poverty, they are giving. A wisdom that you cannot see was regulating the heart. It was faith. Because faith is the source of nothing. When you are appointing wisdom, nobody will see what you are telling. There's no evidence outside. First thing, when you wisdom, when light has visited you, it's inside your soul. You keep doing the same thing. And everybody's mocking you. Because they don't know that you're living by wisdom is nothing. But that thing, it was a wisdom that visited the heart. That thing was a light. That's the entrance of the world. When the world enters, it's light. Light is informing. So what is that light will do? Light will separate you. It's not saying, you see my life, the way my life is. You see, I'm so poor. It's not. No, wisdom is what is guiding. So when a soul have received the light of the world, when a soul have received the wisdom of the world, there's a conversion. That conversion starts from the heart first. Wisdom. A man that wisdom in Tamil, he separated himself. Wisdom will separate your heart. You cannot find the light, which is wisdom, of the ministry of the world, of the word of faith, or of the world of the incorruptible seed, because the incorruptible seed also have its own wisdom too. You cannot find the wisdom of the word of faith, and you are not separating your soul. Before separation, before anything external that man can see, before separation will happen on your inside. It will separate you from carnal mindedness. That is how you know that wisdom has visited you. Everybody around you may not know what you are transacting with, but you are transacting with the instrument of light. You are transacting with the instrument of understanding. That is a man that the ministry of the world has the effect upon. The place of the conversation force is within. Because wisdom will separate you from the life of the folly. Because foolishness is inside of you. Wisdom, when wisdom, which is light, is talking at you, it will separate you from folly. And folly are banned in your heart. So when a man is using the means of the world, or a man is living by the world, A man is living by the word of faith, or a man is living by the word of incorruptible seed. You won't see anything. You have not arrived at the point of evidence yet. It is until when the spirit of faith visits you that you arrive at the evidence. It's the spirit of evidence when you become witnesses. But first, you must live by the word. You must live by wisdom. And you must live by understanding. And when you are living by wisdom of the word of faith, or you are living by the wisdom of the word of God, be ready for your children. Because wisdom has justifications. It's because it's a faith. It's a word of. Because you are in the season of the word. Wisdom has its justification of its children. What is children? What wisdom will bring forth on your inside? What wisdom will generate on your inside? You can't tell me that the wisdom of the word of faith has come unto you and you are still doing some certain things. The wisdom of separation will visit you. There are certain things that when the wisdom of faith visits my soul, wisdom of righteousness, the soul must be upright in himself. Separation that will make you upright in yourself. Sanctification that will make you upright on yourself. When you move into the season of the spirit of faith, when you move into the law of faith, which is the spirit realm of faith, you become evidence. When a man moves into the season of the evidence, you will. The another word, you can manipulate that oppression. You can generate, you can manufacture it. Because you are moving to the breath of it. Because the law realm is the realm of the breath. It is the realm of the spirit of it. Realm of the word of faith is to transform you. It's to make you aright. And your being making aright is an inward. And when you remember to hope for, why do you hope for what is seen? You only hope for what is not seen yet. It's a transaction that's inward. It's a transaction that's particular to you. It's a transaction that's inward. It's that you are intermingling with wisdom. And wisdom is putting things aright on your inside. Wisdom of understanding is putting things on your inside. Because it's the evidence of things hoped for. You can't arrive at the evidence. Because when you arrive at the evidence, you are moving to the realm of the law, which is the realm of the spirits of it. And until you arrive in the realm of the spirit, you cannot be a witness of that thing. And it's in the realm of the world that you do your fighting. I love the way Isaiah 9, he said, the Lord sent a word unto Jacob. It alighted upon Israel. The essence of the word is to enlighten you. Wisdom is to enlighten you. That why you should not remain what you are on your inside. Your problem is on your inside. Your problem is the way you are fashioned. Your problem is the way you are shaped. Your problem is the way you are formed. And reconstitute you is the ministry of the word. It's the ministry of the word of faith or the word of his grace under Christ or under the word of God. That's what the word is supposed to do. They were supposed to flood you with enough wisdom. Where your soul begins to intermingle with wisdom. When wisdom is visiting you, we say light is visiting you. So that you will not remain your foolishness. You will not keep doing the same thing and expect change. You want to be doing the same thing and expect change. It does not work like that. Paul was trying to cause Corinthian church to break free from carnality. And to move them forward, like churches of Macedonia. And he was trying to tell them some wisdom, in the wisdom of giving, or ministry to the saints. He was trying to give them that one thing that churches of Macedonia have abandoned, is ministry to the saints. In 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. He said they have abandoned churches of Macedonia. So imagine a church that was so poor. No, a man of God can read when wisdom is in the soul and when the soul is still upbringing his foolishness. You know, this person has profited with the ministry of the word. And when the soul is still holding his foolishness. So he told that church was in poverty. Imagine a people that was in terrible poverty. They were very poor. He said that church entreated him as a man of God. As an apostle, Paul do not want to. In fact, Paul told Corinthian church like a year ago that we need to gather bounty to send to Jerusalem church because Jerusalem church is going through hard time. He gave Corinthian church a year ago. He wrote it in chapter 9. He said, a year ago, I've told you. For I know thy forwardness of your mind, which I boast of you to then of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago. When he was telling Philadelphian church, Philadelphian church does not have proud notice. You see, the key why you're not changing because you are not in communication with wisdom. Which are substances, things hope for, the faith of the nothing. Those are the things that deliver to you first. What they will give to you are substances. And those substances that are tangible, they are things. They are in your soul. If you don't mingle them, you will only stay in the realm of the world, but the world will not profit you. Because you can have the world, and the world does not make with faith in you. And if you want the world meet with faith in you, and profit you, you move. Profiting of the world mixed with faith is that you move into the law of faith, which is spirits. The profiting of the world is that you can transit from the world into spirits. Because, you see, when a man is in the spirit, there are some things you can win, you can manipulate. People will think you are not a magician. So, how do you transit from the world into spirits? If you have not used wisdom and understanding to make yourself upright, you cannot. Heaven will not put spirit in what wisdom and understanding has not fashioned. Wisdom is amazing. It must abuse things before they will give you law, spirits, to run it. And when it comes to wisdom, wisdom is the substance that you have. You need to interact with them. You need to intermingle with them. You need to intermingle with those substances of life, understanding, or wisdom and life, understanding. Which are substance of things hoped for. So, Corinthian church had a year notice. So, when it came to Macedonia, he told Macedonia that I'm going to Jerusalem. And Jerusalem church needs bonding. So, church of Macedonia, churches of Macedonia, which is part of Philippi church, they did not have ready thing. And they were in abject, poverty. How that in a great trial of affliction, they were in their season of affliction, abundance of their joy, and their deep poverty abandoned unto riches of their liberality. Paul was talking to Corinthians. Paul said, no church at any time communicate to him as an apostle. It was this church. Every church was saying they don't have. But these people, they say, Macedonian church took it upon themselves. In Corinthian church, Paul was able in Corinthian church, he said it to them. Paul was walking in the afternoon and come and preach to them in the evening. And for the morning gather, he will give it to them to go and use to eat. Corinthian was in the center of commerce. Corinthian was an hub. They were a metropolitan city. They were like living in London, living in America in those ancient days. Commerce was booming. So how do I know? Because Corinthians, when they come for Holy Communion, everybody come with their big bottle of wine. That means, in essence. So where Corinthian church was in plenty, they have things working with them because another church in another region was going through a great trial of affliction. Corinthian church have a previous knowledge that they must gather bounty forward to send to Jerusalem church. I'm talking about when wisdom is gathering a people's heart. So, Philippian church, Macedonian churches, they knew. Paul called to them. Are you know something? The Bible said, Paul, now ye Philippians know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated unto me concerning giving and receiving, but you holy. Paul had churches everywhere, but no church was communicating to apostolic mandate of Paul. Paul was preaching to them, but nobody felt that he deemed to minister to the man that was ministering to them. What made this church? It was the church as a wisdom that every other Corinthian church and that church were foolish. And what produced this thing was the substance of faith that they intermingled with. Something instructed their heart. A man can be hearing knowledge and hearing knowledge. He's not changing. Because he has no intermingled wisdom. Wisdom has not instructed his heart. Because you will know if a source are profited with the word. You know. You can judge a corporate church. You can judge an individual church. And how you know, you see a pattern of consistency. Because he said twice, Philippian church, Macedonian churches, they gather twice. And beyond that, they don't have a problem in ministry to their apostolic source. Secondly, they are beyond ministry to the informant. You say a church now is Corinthian, it's another brethren. Even when he now came to brethren, because okay, maybe they were partial, it's because it's a Paul apostle that brought word to them. How you know that the seed is a wisdom on their soul? Man is no longer even an authority. It's your authority. Man has to do with another believer. They also show the same passion. The thing is not eye service to them. This is not a coerce. It's a training of wisdom and understanding in the soul. You will know that it's a lifestyle to them. It's a thing that has happened to their soul. Because they didn't only do it for an apostle. When it now comes for another brethren as a Jew, in a far, far Middle East, in land of Israel, Jerusalem, they are still willing. Even though they have every right not to say, Paul, you understand now, we are in great affliction. We are in deep shit poverty. We are in deep shit poverty. We are very poor. This same set of people that communicate to Apostle Paul twice during his mission trip, that Corinthian church 1 year was ready to send something. Corinthian church want to send. Which will we go send now? They are willing themselves that we should also take to their power. I bear their record. Yea, I'm beyond their power. You know, I'm not just using this thing. I'm just using this as a case study of a heart that the ministry of the word have prospered. That word have profited. They are not only ready to give the apostle because they are it's an apostle now, so that we can show an apostle, but even to their brother that they never see their face before. They don't know them by name. They don't see them. That they just heard that they are in power. They say we are willing. Within their power, I bear them. I'm beyond their power. I mean, these people did certain things that really, they did some things that after they have done it, some of them might not have food to eat for months or for years. Beyond their power. They were willing of themselves. Pray us with much entreaty that we should receive the gifts and take upon us the fellowship of ministering to the saints. Paul was not hoping anything from them. Not as we hope. That's it. Even when they were trying to gather something, Paul was expecting that with what they are going to do, if they just manage to gather 500,000, they have tried. He said, beyond what we hope, that will be beyond our expectation. A church that is a deep sheep of hearty. They exceeded expectation. That Paul had to quickly send. Now, run to Corinthian church for me. Let me quickly go to Corinthian church. These guys, what we hope for, they exceeded it though. Corinthian church, because I know those guys. I know trust what is in them. He had to send. He was writing to Corinthian. For yet I sent. Have I sent the brethren? Lest our bosom of you should be in vain in their behalf. People that have 1 year notice, though. That's when Paul was writing to Philippian church, he told them, I know, either in my absence and presence, that I know you will be obedient. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. They know the church that they obey because apostles they are around. And when apostles know they are around, they know they obey. These people, wisdom and understanding as intermingled their soul. Paul doesn't need to be around. He knew what he was expecting from this church. He knew that the word has the full effect on their soul. So he wrote to the church that not just only in my heart, I know you have only obeyed. It's not only when I'm present you obey. Even much more of me. Your obedience in my absence is even surpassed when I'm around. Your attitude has not changed. Your passion does not change. Because you have intermingled with the wisdom, the light, and understanding of the word. And beyond that, this church has moved beyond the world. They are moving to spirits. You cannot discard that the church has spirits. You can't deny it. For an apostle to boast of a church like this, go and read all the Paul letter. There's no church that Paul boasted like this church. Macedonian churches. That you do not only obey my presence. Much more than I said you are obeying. You see a church that has profited with the ministry of the word. And have moved into the law. That his word is a law to them. God's law is a law to them. They are a people that are moving to some. They are pressing to some spirits. That a church in a deep poverty, a church in terrible lack, will be begging apostle that he should collect their money. And when they finish gathering, he said they surpass what we ever hope for. I think our expectation, we felt that they go to God to try. They have trial. This church trial. Paul said they did not try. He said what they hope for, they surpass his hope. He had to send another brethren. Please, help me go to the Corinthian church, because those ones, now so tongue, they go, they blast. I cannot trust that in my absence, they will do what they say they will do. I can't beat my chest that since the last time I've left them, that what they promised they would do, what they said they would do, they have not done. It's another thing they will do. So he sent brethren. Chapter 8 and chapter 9 was a classic that Paul was just teaching Corinthian church and was choosing Church of Macedonia as a case study. Gospel. Paul spent 1 year, 6 months with Corinthian church. Paul never spent all to that year with Philippian church. But what? They made profit with the word. Another church that Paul boasts like that is Thessalonian church. And Thessalonian church is one of the churches in Macedonia. From you standing at the word of the law, not only Macedonia, but in Achaia. But also in every place your faith to God's word is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves showed of us what manner of entering we have unto you, and how you turn to God from idol to serve the living and the true God. It's possible the man can live by the Father. That's my burden. But before we can live by the Father, our faith thrives by living by faith. And if we want to live by faith, we start living by the first thing, by the word of faith. Then we move, then we cannot live to live by the spirit of faith. Because if you have not lived and prosper with the word of faith, say the word being spoken to them, they don't meet with faith in them that heard it. The word they are hearing, how much has it profited you? And the profit of the word of faith is that you can inherit the spirit of faith. Spirit. When you come into the season to live by the Father has his word. And the Father has his law of the Father, which is the spirit of the Father. When you read John, the spirit of the Father speaks. The spirit of the Father is an answer. The spirit of the Father will make it to be a witness to the Father. He says something. He said, do not take thought of what I'm going to say. For the same hour shall be given. For you are not the one that speaketh, but the spirit of your Father speaketh in you. When you remove into the realm of the spirits, which is the realm of the law, they speak. What is speaking? He witnesses to what the word has been inside of you. But it is not you that speak, but the spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. But the spirit of the Father cannot speak in you if you have not allowed the word of the Father to build wisdom, light, and understanding of the Father. So just as there is the word of Christ and there is the spirit of Christ, that's how Romans 8 renders it. So if the word of Christ was not doing you richly, the spirit of Christ will not dwell in you. Romans 8, 7 and 8. If Christ be in you, how does Christ be in you? Colossians. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Can you see? When God comes, God comes in wisdoms. The diversity of wisdom of the world. In the sin of the midst of the world is wisdom and understanding. There are substances. The substance of the world will come and dwell in you. And God wants you to prosper with the substance of the world, which are wisdom and understanding. Let him dwell in you. Let them intermingle with those wisdom and understanding. Let them separate you. There should be some separation. You think you are poor. Go and visit the Philippian church. You know they're not poor. Certain things you are dealing with because you have not find wisdom and understanding to regulate your life. It's wisdom and understanding. And you can take it into every aspect of your life like that. You need wisdom and understanding your marriage. You need wisdom and understanding raising your children. Wisdom and understanding that the world brings the wisdom of the world, understanding of the world. There are substances that you must intermingle your soul with. You must stay in prayer. God, bless me with light and understanding of the world. Let the world have entrance into me. Bless me with the wisdom, some wisdom and understanding. If you feel yourself that you are not enjoying separation, you should be enjoying separation from within. You should be archiving your separation as you are on your inside. How your mind is separated from things. How your thoughts have been separated. How your motives have been separated. How intent of your heart have been separated. You must be archiving separations that wisdom is bringing you to because you are intermingling wisdom understanding of the world. So you can see the substance of the world is light and understanding or wisdom
understanding, and they have your building. They call it the word of grace. The word of God is able to build you up so that you can be ready to take inheritance of spirits. Your inheritance is spiritual. You can have word of faith and you don't have spirit of faith. When a man has absolute of faith, he becomes spiritual. You see that person become a witness. God, he says something in that 1 John chapter 5. It's not he that come by water only, but that come by water and the blood. Then what? And it is the spirit that beareth witness. It is the spirit. Until you have the spirit of the allocation of wisdom and understanding that I've instructed you, you are not yet a witness. It is the spirit that beareth witness. Spirit will bear witness to what wisdom and understanding has in. It's a wisdom that slaughter and prepare a drink. Wisdom has built our house. So build it. She has hewn out our seven pillars. She has killed our beasts. She has mingled our wine. Look at it. For wisdom, intermingled of wisdom. Mingled our wine. Wisdom must mingle your soul. She has also furnished our table. What's our table? Your heart. Wisdom must furnish your table. She has sent forth our maidens. She cried upon high places of the city. My brother, deal with substance of the word, though. Either the word of faith or the word of Christ. So let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, as I was reading Colossians. And then when you move into Romans 8, so the word say, and if Christ be in you, so how does Christ be in you? Christ be in you by the word of Christ. Word of Christ is the wisdom of Christ and the understanding of Christ that shaped you. Which is faith is shaping you. The body is dead because of sin. Well, what? The spirit is life. So what's the spirit? The spirit is the spirit of Christ. Spirit is life because of righteousness. I mean, the spirit is life because of righteousness. What is righteousness? The righteousness there is the gospel of Christ, is the word. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body by his spirit that dwells in you. Then verse 12, Christ. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be that the spirit of God dwells in you. Now, full stop. Now, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, is none of his. So you can't have the spirit of Christ if you don't have the word of Christ first. God, the spirit of Christ will witness to the word of Christ as dwelling in you. Not as a word now, but it's dwelling in you as wisdom and understanding. And what wisdom and understanding will do? The wisdom and understanding will form Christ in you. What did I say, church? God, wisdom will build Christ. Understanding will establish Christ in you. Then the law of Christ, the spirit of Christ, they come to bear witness or to come and quicken it. The same thing is what happened in the sin of Christ. You can live. A man can live by faith, or a man can live by the spirit of Christ. The man that's living by the word is lower than a man that's living by the spirit of Christ. A man can live by the word of Christ. A man can live by the spirit of Christ. A man can live by the word of God. Or a man can live by the word of the Father. And a man can live by the spirit of the Father. A man can live by the word of God. A man can live by the spirit of God. If a man lives by the spirit of God, he's a witness. Until you arrive at the point of living by the spirit, you are not yet a witness. It is when you have arrived in the season of the spirit, which is the law, that's when you have become a witness. When you arrive in the spirit, is when you are a witness. Father Lord, we thank you tonight. Thank you for deep, deep, deep work that is taking place in our soul. We don't want to be a people that the word of God does not have effect in our life. We are tired in just hearing knowledge, and we're not translating it to intermingling or wine. Spirits, show us mercy, Lord. Ah, Father, you help us, Lord. You deliver us from things that we have been struggling with. You will push us forward, Lord. You will raise us above reproach of sin. Raise us above reproach of sin, Lord.
Let us gain mastery over sin. Amen. Through the instrumentality of wisdom, the light and understanding of your word. Amen. That we can be an inheritor of your spirits. Cause us to be a people that carry visions. Amen. Give us a people that have eyes to see. Cause us a people that obey you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Honor to your Son, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray.
We believe you have been enlightened through the ministry of the Word and Spirit, bringing you into a much deeper understanding of God's eternal purpose and plan. To find out more about us and our meetings, visit us at 12 Akinu Senior Street off Allen Road, Ikeja, Lagos. You can also contact us on our website at www.lostyouchurch.org or call us on +234 9042 850714. Remain blessed.